From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. On Capitol Hill, the House and the Senate voted today to condemn Iran's crackdown on protesters supporting reformist candidate Mir Hussein Mousavi. The vote was bipartisan, but the resolution was initiated by Republicans. They've been putting pressure on the White House to take a stronger stand against Iran. To get some perspective on how President Obama has dealt with the aftermath of the elections in Iran, we're joined now by our regular political commentators, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome to you both.
Good to be with you.
Thank you.
E.J., I'm going to begin with you. Do the Republicans have a point? Would this be a prime moment for the president to put more pressure on Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and perhaps send a message to the clerics?
Well, I think there are three impulses at war here in the United States. One is, as the Republicans suggest, to scream out in support of the protesters and to speak out for human rights and democracy. The second, which the president has talked about, is not to say anything that the Iranian regime could use as an excuse to crack down on the protesters as supposed tools of the United States. And the third is a kind of realist assumption. Keep our options open and don't pretend the U.S. has more power in this situation than it does. And I think what you saw today is perhaps a useful division of labor. I think it's good that Congress passed that resolution. I think all kinds of people, including David and me, should speak out in support of democracy. I think the administration has been right up to this point to be careful. There's a kind of division of labor here. As we hung back, the Europeans, Sarkozy in France, Merkel in Germany, Gordon Brown, have been able to speak up. But as this goes on, I think the administration will and should move to make clear that there will be a price to be paid for a brutal crackdown. But I think they've been right to calibrate it.
Now, we should make clear that the president has not been entirely silent on this. Before we go on, let's take a listen to what the president had to say earlier this week when he was asked about Iran.
There are people who want to see greater openness and greater debate and want to see greater democracy. How that plays out over the next several days and several weeks is something ultimately for the Iranian people to decide. But I stand strongly with the universal principle that people's voices should be heard and not suppressed.
David, a very carefully worded answer there. No taking sides. Why isn't the president speaking with more force?
Well, that was legalistic. And some of the things he said this week were just terrible. And I think the administration will now tell you they were terrible. He said at one point that Mousavi and Ahmadinejad were like Tumbledee and Tumbledum. They were the same, which they understand that was a mistake. His basic assumption was, we don't know what's going on. The intelligence is just terrible. It's filled with uncertainty. Why do something that may cause more harm than good? And therefore, set back. And it is also true that it's not a big deal. From our point of view, what Obama says is a big deal. If you're on the ground in Iran, when I've ever been in a place where there's chaos, the U.S. policy is important, but there are so many local figures that are in the foreground. That's what really matters. It's their revolution, and it's their control.
And yet, though, in Iran, they're claiming that the U.S. is meddling, is trying
well,
to
they're
manipulate
gonna say that. The regime is going to say that. We understand now, more than ever, that the regime is paranoid, clumsy, and insecure, and basically fragile. The one thing I'd say, and I wish the Obama administration had done what Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden really wanted them to do, be a lot more aggressive. And the evidence for that is the people on the streets are holding up signs in English. It's English. It's not Russian. It's not German. They want to engage us. They want us to be engaged. They want us to be on their side, and we should have been a little more aggressive.
EJ and David, I guess both of you, is there some – could you argue that deliberative silence might be what's called for in this moment, that it has some purposefulness?
Well, I do think, I mean, the president has said that that he doesn't want us to become a major player in there because he doesn't think that'll help the dissidents. He's more or less said that. I think that what you're going to see is a little bit more outspokenness as this goes on, because it's going to be hard after we've learned how much opposition there is, how fragile this regime, or how much more fragile this regime is than we thought it was. We can't go back exactly to square one. This can't be put back in the box. So I think you will hear hear more from the administration over time. Yeah.
And I would say that's the battle now going on within the administration. There were some people before who really thought, well, let's get back to the nuclear negotiations. That's our key agenda item. Let's get back. I think those forces are now losing, and justly so, to the ideas we're never going to get back. We're not going to go sit with Ahmadinejad and talk about nuclear, the nuclear program. We just can't go back politically short term. But secondly, the most important thing is not the nuclear program. It's the existence of the regime. And what can we do to help those who want to undermine the regime?
The White House is denying reports that there might be some tension between the president and the vice president on this issue. But does Joe Biden's history suggest that he would be itching to step up or speak out more forcefully in this moment?
Yeah, my view is that it's the politicians. It's Hillary Clinton, it's Joe Biden. I think to some degree Barack Obama, too. The people with the political antennae are saying this is a big moment, we got to be on this big moment. The people who are professional diplomats and negotiators and lawyers, they're the ones being cautious. And because they're just not trained to think about radical moments like this one.
EJ, if this is a test for the White House, what's at stake?
Well, what's at stake is Obama's great claim, which is that he's able to handle complexity, and that what you have here are all of these impulses at war. He does not want to overplay the American hand here. He doesn't want to be George Bush. At the same time, we are a country that supports democracy. And so that tension David describes is sort of the description of the complexity that he's going to show us soon that he knows how to deal with, or he won't. I have a hunch that he is moving to try to pull these pieces together.
That's E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of the David Brooks of the New York Times. Excuse me, David. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.